Hi, everybody. Welcome to the See How Phone Bridge workshop on the topic of spreading the message, looking for the compulsive eater who still suffers. And I'm Roberta, and we're just kicking it off. However, somebody was just asking a question as we started doing the recording. Can you repeat your question?
I just wanted to know where this would be available after, where would the court recording be available?
Yeah, it'll be available on the website.
Great, thank
See
you.
How, you're welcome. So again, welcome to everybody. This is the Phone Bridge workshop on the topic of spreading the message, looking for the compulsive eater who still suffers. My name is Roberta, and the purpose of this workshop is to define what it means to provide the public with information about See How, and also to give our fellowship a vision of the practical ways that we can bring our message of recovery to the public and ultimately the compulsive eater who still suffers. So before we get started, just a couple of phone bridge logistics. All the participants are currently muted. I will be the leader, and I'll be able to control the muting. There will be some time, a couple times actually, in the workshop where I'm giving people the opportunity to unmute and share, but I would like to ask everyone to try and make sure that you're muted using your own mute button on your own phone. Also, I will need a volunteer for this workshop to do the timing for when people share. Can I get a volunteer who would be willing to be our timer today? Anybody willing to be a volunteer? You have to press star 6 to unmute yourself. Well, I'll ask again in a couple of minutes. A couple of FYIs about this workshop, whereas we will be conducting this workshop on the phone bridge, so everything will be orally presented. There is some literature available online as well. We actually put the same workshop about public information on at last year's See How convention, so there's actually a handout of the PowerPoint presentation available on the See How website if you'd like to download it. So I'll reference that now and also at the end of the workshop in case you'd like a copy of the presentation. You go to our website, www.ceahow.org. On the left-hand side, you will see a link titled Audio Downloads. If you select that link and then go to the category called 2012 Annual Global Convention Audio Downloads, so it's basically the 2012 convention, you will see a workshop there titled Spreading the Message. And just to the right of that, it says Download the Handout. So you can go there and get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that I'll be actually using to do the presentation today. But also, in addition to that PowerPoint presentation, there is also an actual public information guideline document. And this was a document that our public information committee for See How produced last year. And it actually has some sample outreach documents and media letters that you can use to customize any outreach that you may want to do. So we are in the process of getting that added to the See How website under the Public Information tab. But in the meantime, if you want a copy, I can certainly email it to you. My email address is roberta1521@sbcglobal.net. Again, roberta1521@sbcglobal.net. And again, I will repeat this at the end of the workshop. And then also, as the participant asked at the beginning of the call, this workshop is being recorded, and it's going to be available on the See How website for downloading at a future time as well, probably in the next day or so. Okay, so quick introductions. Who am I? My name is Roberta, and I am a compulsive eater. Just to qualify quickly, I am a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. My date of abstinence is January 31st, 2007. So that's been about 5.5 years. I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss, and I'm based here in Orange County, California. I also, it just so happened to be, a member of last year's See How Public Information Committee. That's part of the World Service Organization. They have committees various years that we have to work on various things for the fellowship, and I happen to be on the Public Information Committee last year. And one of our projects was to create a public information guidelines document to help our fellowship. And to be honest with you, when I first got assigned to that committee last year and was tasked with, our group was tasked with doing that, I had to say, what the heck does that mean? I don't even know what public information is, let alone what are our guidelines. So what we did was we produced a document that basically tried to summarize CHOW's approach to public information. And we used the work that AA had done on their side, because that's our, kind of the founding organization, and we used that as a guideline ourselves to say, well, what kind of documents did they have to talk about public information? We also conducted interviews with a number of longtime abstinent CHOW members about what they had seen the fellowship do in regards to public information. And so we produced. It's about a 13 or 15-page document that's called the Public Information Guidelines document that basically summarizes what CHOW's approach could be to making the public aware that CHOW is here and that we do offer a solution to the problem of compulsive eating. So it's not a mandatory, you must do it. It's simply the collection of our experience, strength, and hope in one central place that can help other people in the fellowship, should they choose to use it, to find ideas on how to reach the community. Now, the big question is, who is this workshop really for? And for all those that have joined us, either live or on a recorded version, thank you for being here. Thank you for investing in your own recovery. But the truth is, this workshop is really for somebody who's not even here today. This is for somebody who's not listening to this. This is for the compulsive eater who still suffers and is out there in the community that has never heard about CHOW. That's really who this workshop is for. Our job is to carry the message, but really the workshop is to get the message to people out there that haven't heard of us. So that's kind of just a really key point that we're really here for the compulsive eater who still suffers. So the goal of this workshop is to educate and inform you, the Fellowship of CHOW, about the need to make the public aware of our program of recovery, to figure out what the heck does that really mean? What are the ways that we can reach the compulsive eater who still suffers? And how might we, as a fellowship or as individuals, how might we accomplish that? At the end of the day, however, ultimately you individually and you in the various CHOW fellowships you're in, ultimately you decide if and how you want to reach the public with information about CHOW. One of our literature quotes is that our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. So in no way is anybody in this workshop going to be telling you what to do. It's really just to give you a vision of how you can carry the message of recovery to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Now, the first question that I wanted to bring up on the workshop is, what about attraction versus promotion? And this is often the very first issue that comes up when we want to talk about communicating with the public about CHOW. So I wanted to open it up. I wanted to open it up to you, the folks on the call, to say, what do you guys think about the concept of attraction versus promotion? And how should that guide us when we even consider telling the public about CHOW? So I'm going to open it up to let maybe up to three people share their thoughts. Let me ask again if anybody would be willing to be the timer for this session. It's just two times we're going to be doing this, once now and once a little bit later. Could I have a volunteer to be a timer to time people for 3 minutes? You have to press *6 to unmute yourself. Any volunteers?
Hi, this is Lisa. I'd like to volunteer for that, please.
Lisa, thank you so much. Thank you for your service. If you could time everybody for 3 minutes and give them a one-minute warning, that would be great. Thank you for your service. And for anyone that does share, please, if Lisa does give you a one-minute warning, please acknowledge that you've heard her. So let me open it up again for up to three people to share, up to 3 minutes each. What do you think about the concept of attraction versus promotion guiding us and how we should tell the public about CHOW? Who would like to share?
This is Lorraine. Can you hear me?
I can, Lorraine. Hi.
Oh, hi. I've been unmuting like crazy for 10 minutes. I'm so glad you hear me. The difference between attraction versus promotion from my personal experiences have been to allow the person to ask me the questions and to give them just enough information to help them make a decision without giving away the whole program, because I really believe that it's my service in life is to get a person to come to a meeting, but but not to give them the whole program as an advertisement right there, because their higher power is going to have them hear what they need to hear at a meeting, not from what I say. So when I think of attraction versus promotion, I'm just hoping to model the CEA How way of life for someone, and if they need to know or ask me, or if I can volunteer a little information to say, you know, I have something that works for me and I'll share it with you. I share very little. It's almost like teaching small children about sex. You only tell them what you think they need to know for a minute, and then they have to go find more. And that's what I'm trying to do in my life, because I do not want to say the wrong thing to keep anyone from being saved in our program. I want their higher power to take that over for them. And that's my take on it.
Thank you, Lorraine. Who else would like to share on the topic of what do you think about attraction versus promotion, and how should that guide us as we consider how we might tell the public about CEHO? Anybody else want to share?
Hi, this is T in California.
Hi, T, go ahead.
Well, I think that one of the most important things is to speak from our experience. And so if somebody, I have, thank God, today, 5 months back-to-back abstinence, and I've given away over 30 pounds, which I will find out what it is for this month tomorrow. But I've had people now say things to me, and I think that for me to share my experience at the time that I'm sharing it as honestly as I can, and by saying that, I could say, I have found the answer for me. My insanity with food has stopped. And then go into explaining a little bit, like the lady before me just shared, a little bit about the program, but have them ask for more. But I think that honesty has got to be number one in me sharing what my experience is. To me, the getting rid of the weight is a byproduct, totally a byproduct of being sane with food. From the time I was 8 years old and having a problem for 52 years ongoing that has never stopped, I thank God from this program have a sanity towards food where I'm not thinking about my compulsion 24/7 and putting it off until tomorrow. And so that's when people ask me what I've done, what am I doing, and so far that feels appropriate. I'm certainly willing to hear and learn if that's the right thing to be doing, but so far that's what I've come up with, just telling the truth. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for your share. Again, let's have one more person share, again, the topic of attraction versus promotion. And the question I would ask you guys is, should we promote CEHO?
Hi, Roberta. It's Suzanne, Grateful Compulsive Eater.
Hi, Suzanne.
Yeah, I would just, you know, my experience has been I share what I need to share depending upon who my audience is. If someone at the gym asks me, they may have different ideas. You know, my trainer has asked me, you know, what are you doing? Well, his mindset is already different, and so I share perhaps differently than, let's say, when I address the California Council of the Blind, because they're more into the emotional effects. And, yeah, you don't want to give them the whole program, but you kind of have to kind of figure out who your audience is. And if you don't know who your audience is, you do be brief. But we need, like, for lack of a better word, talking points. What really works? What can we say in short amounts of time to get the most amount of attention if we're asked? And I was asked to, you know, address people. And I'm thinking, what should I say? And, I prayed about it. But I do. I when I'm talking to a group of nurses for my doctor, or if people just ask me, why do you look so healthy, or what are you doing? I got to have to pick and choose who my audience is. And I'm so grateful for this workshop. Thank you, Roberta. I pass.
Thank you for your share, Dan. So let's go in. We'll have another time to share a little bit later in the workshop, but I want to share my own experiences. Then I've had some interesting conversations with people in programs, some of whom were adamant that we should not promote the program. Certainly if somebody asks us a question, how did you lose the weight, share as much as we feel comfortable with, but we should not promote the program in any other direct way to people in the public. And that caused us, as on the Public Information Committee, to look through, well, what exactly do our traditions tell us? So I wanted in the next section to just do a quick review of what our literature says about our public relations policy. So, and again, these are available on some of the PowerPoint online and in the Public Information Guidelines document that I mentioned as well. But just to run through them quickly, Tradition 11, this is a quote, "Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films and other public media of communication," end quote. Let me now quote that same Tradition 11 in the long form of the Tradition 11. This is on page 192 of the 12 and 12, and it says, I quote, "Our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. Our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us," end quote. There's two main points out of that we kind of walked away with. Number one is the fact that our relations with the general public should be categorized by personal anonymity. That implies that we do promote the program publicly, but that as we do so, we maintain personal anonymity. Also on the line that says our public relations policy should be guided by the principle of attraction rather promotion suggests that it is our duty to carry the message, not our personalities, to the public. But that's the key point. We do need to carry the message to the public, and that's the key point there. Tradition 5 states, and this is obviously Tradition 5 itself is foundational to the program, which says each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. And that's key, certainly in the CHELP program, where we also add not just that it's our primary purpose to carry the message, but also to abstain from compulsive eating. So the question is, we do need to carry the message, and that's why this workshop evolved, which is, well, how do we do that and still maintain our tradition? I just want to briefly reference a couple of other quotes from other conference-approved literature. Tradition 11 on page 181 of the 12 and 12 says, quote, "Obviously, AA had to be publicized somehow," end quote. Also, Tradition 12, which is says anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Page 186 on that tradition of the 12 and 12 says, quote, "But it became apparent that the word of mouth method, was too limited. Our work, as such, needed to be publicized. The AA groups would have to reach quickly as many despairing alcoholics as they could," end quote. And again, that's what that's my personal perception after having worked on this committee, that word of mouth, you know, will work, but that's very limiting. How do we get the rest of the public out there, in which are many, many suffering compulsive eaters, how do we carry the message to them? Another quote from Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age on page 144 says, quote, "We could therefore no longer be a seldom heard of secret society. Word of mouth communication with the few alcoholics we could contact by our then current methods would not only be slow but dangerous. Dangerous because the recovery message in which we now had such high confidence might soon be garbled and twisted beyond recognition. Clearly, our budding society and its message would have to be publicized," end quote. As Bill sees it on page 255, has the following quote, "Nothing matters more to AA's future welfare than the manner in which we use the colossus of modern communication. Used unselfishly and well, it can produce results surpassing our present imagination. Should we handle this great instrument badly, we shall be shattered by the ego manifestations of our own people. Against this peril, AA members' anonymity before the general public is our shield and our buckler." That's taken from the Grapevine, November 1960. So again, a couple of messages there. And again, for any of the references I mentioned, I would encourage people, don't just take my summary here, which is just specific quotes. Feel free to look through the literature on your own and come to your own conclusion about what does our literature say about communicating the message of recovery to the general public. Which brings me to the next point, which is, so what is the message? What is the message that we want to carry to compulsive eating? And our public information committee would suggest that the message is that there is recovery from compulsive eating. There is recovery possible from compulsive eating. But we also recognize, even as we want to spread that message, that our competence to speak about compulsive eating is really limited to CHOW and its recovery program. We are not doctors or therapists. We are just average, everyday, run-of-the-mill compulsive eaters who have found recovery. We also recognize that we are not the only solution being offered to the compulsive eater. If you do a search looking up, like up the word compulsive eater online, you will come up with all kinds of different programs, either paid or unpaid, that people are saying, try this, try that. So we recognize we are only one solution out there that many people may or may not want to do. But we have found that this program is effective, and so our job is to carry that message to those that need to hear about it, and then they can decide for themselves. Now, another question that comes up is, well, who exactly are we trying to reach with that message of recovery? And we would suggest that there are three main groups. Probably most importantly is the compulsive eater who still suffers. People like us that are out there in compulsive eating and probably isolated and alone and think they're the only ones that feel this way, and if they just try harder, somehow they'll be able to eat like a normal person. So there is the compulsive eater out there who still suffers and has never heard about CHOW. But there's another category that, to be honest with you, I had never even thought about until I worked on this project, and that is the professional community. There are a number of doctors and therapists and clergy and other people that serve the compulsive eating community that are looking for solutions. So whether it's a therapist or a doctor or a rabbi or a priest or whoever, or even family members looking to say, I've got this loved one who needs help. What is out there that can help them? So in general, the professional community is looking for assistance as well to say, do you have something that can help the people I'm trying to help? So again, first off, you got the compulsive eater. Secondly, you have the professional community. And then the third group we're trying to reach are CHOW members and service bodies, individual members like yourself. Now, the fact that you guys are actually here on this workshop suggests that you are looking for ways to reach the compulsive eater who still suffers, which is awesome. So that could be you as an individual, it could be you as a meeting, it could be you as an intergroup, it could be us as a fellowship. So it's the CHOW members and various service bodies. So there are really three main groups we're trying to reach, the compulsive eater, the professional community, and CHOW members and service bodies to give them tools and techniques that they can use in their own community. Now, I wanted to consider the needs of each of those three groups because they're kind of different. They don't all need the same thing. So let's look first at the compulsive eater. So who is the compulsive eater? Well, that could be men and women and young people from all walks of life, ages, nationalities, and religions who suffer from compulsive eating. Now, what do they need? And again, this is not an exhaustive list, but in general, they need to know that there is recovery from compulsive eating. Something that answers the question, does it work? They would also need info about CHOW in general, who we are, what's our history, how our program works, things like the 7 tools, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, no fees, no dues, just results, that kind of thing. They also need to know what we offer, which hopefully is acceptance and understanding and relief and the power to get out of the out of compulsivity. And they also need information on how to get literature, program literature. But at the end of the day, what are they ultimately looking for? Relief from compulsive eating. And how can we help? Well, by providing the info they need through our, for example, through our See How website, or they could contact the WSO or a local See How office or See How members. But that's the compulsive eater. That's what we felt what they needed. Now, the second group, again, the professional community, who is that? That would be doctors, therapists, clergymen, counselors, could be student health departments, anybody who's seeking to help the compulsive eater. Now, what do they need? In some cases, it's the same thing as the compulsive eater. They want to know, well, what's the overview of See How? What's the history? How does the program work? What's required of members? They probably also want to know is how successful is this? You know, does it work? They probably want to know where and when the meetings are. Maybe they'd like a recording of a sample meeting, a workshop, to give them a feel for what the heck happens in these See How meetings. They probably need info on any upcoming events so that they can tell their compulsive eater, hey, there's a workshop coming up. Maybe it'll help you. And they also need contact names and numbers in case they have any questions. But at the end of the day, what are they ultimately looking for? They want to know if there is a viable, successful solution that can help the people they seek to help, the compulsive eater. So how can we help them? Well, certainly maintain a place where the professional community can go and find out more about See How, like our See How website. But also have members and service bodies of See How proactively reach out to them to make them aware of their program. Now, the third group, which is us, you know, the See How members and service bodies, who would this be? Again, it could be an individual See How member. And really, the people that are here are people in the fellowship who have found recovery through working the See How concept. Now, what do they need? Well, they already hopefully know that the program works, but they need information and documents and literature that they can use to reach out to the compulsive eater, maybe some sample handouts, some brochures, some flyers, et cetera. So they need information that they can give to the compulsive eater and the professional community to say that there is recovery. Basically, any tools that we can give them to help educate them on how they can reach out to the compulsive eater, like this workshop. What are they ultimately looking for? They're looking for training and tools to help carry the message of recovery to the compulsive eater and the professional community that's trying to help them. So how can we help? Well, as a fellowship, is what we're trying to do, at least in this workshop, is give you guys a vision for how you can carry the message and then give you those tools. And that's what this workshop's all about. Now, the next point on a high level I want to make is, well, what about the media? And on that topic, both See How and AA have enjoyed excellent relationships with the print, radio, and television journalists that we may come across. But there are certain key guidelines that we have agreed as a fellowship to follow. And the most basic of that is anonymity is the foundation for all of the things we do. It gives us the freedom to talk about our shared disease since we know our anonymity will be accepted and respected. But also anonymity acts as a restraint upon our members. There is no spokesman for See How. There is no leadership in our fellowship. We are simply members of See How that can share our experience, strength, and hope. Therefore, as we read earlier in some of the literature, if we are ever identified in the media, it is our approach to use first names only, not to use our last name, and that we do not use photographs or electronic images in which an individual's face may be recognized. Now, it's a key point that this applies to any public media of communication as well, which would be things like social networking sites like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, is to not use any personal photos, and that's just what we do. Now, reminding the media about that, there is a letter that is available that we could send. Let me read it to you real quick. This is a sample anonymity letter that any one of us could send to the local, you know, news media, and it's and we patterned this off of what AA does, and it's called Media Letter, a note of thanks and a request for continued cooperation. And again, this is, let me quote the letter. From time to time, we write our public media friends to thank them for helping us observe the longstanding tradition of anonymity for members of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HAL. First, let us express our deep gratitude to you. From the beginning, our members have recognized that word of mouth is not sufficient by itself to carry the program's message of hope and recovery to the many people still suffering from compulsive eating. The public media has been a vital part of this effort, and today we estimate that there are thousands of compulsive eaters around the world successfully recovering as a result of finding CHOW. Second, we respectfully request that you continue to cooperate with us in maintaining the anonymity of CHOW members. The principle of anonymity is a basic tenet of our fellowship. Those who are reluctant to seek our help may overcome their fear if they are confident that their anonymity will be respected. In addition, and perhaps less understood, our tradition of anonymity acts as a restraint on CHOW members, reminding us that we are a program of principles, not personalities, and that no individual CHOW member may presume to act as a spokesman or leader of our fellowship. If any CHOW member is identified in the media, we ask that you please use first names only and that you do not use photographs or electronic images in which members' faces may be recognized. Again, we thank you for your continued cooperation. Those who wish to know more about our fellowship are welcome to visit our website, www.chow.org. Our fellowship does not comment on matters of public controversy, but we are happy to provide information about CHOW to anyone who seeks it, sincerely, and then the name of the person that may be sending the letter, end quote. So that's an example of a letter that could be sent out to the media reminding them about our anonymity. Now, the next part of the workshop is where we actually start going through, well, what are the ways that we can reach the public with CHOW's message of recovery? And the good news is there are many, many ways. And the following examples, I think I have 13 or 14 different examples. These are just examples, things that other members actually have done. Plus, there are things out there that people could do but not haven't necessarily done it yet. So just a reminder, we're sharing this information with you so that you or your CHOW meeting or intergroup or area might consider if and how you might want to do something similar to carry the message of recovery to the compulsive eater and in your own community. Okay, so the first way number one, our audience here is really all those three main members we talked about before, the compulsive eater, the professional community, and CHOW members and service bodies. And that method of communication is the CHOW website, www.chow.org. And the goal there is that's a central source of information for anyone who's looking to find out information about CHOW. Now, it's a reactive site, meaning that there's nothing proactively going out to say to people, hey, look at the website. It's just out there, and if somebody tells somebody, go out and look, then they can go find some wonderful things. And this last year, the website has been updated to be a little bit more easy to navigate through, but there's tons of information, and it's really our official source of all literature and information about our website. Now, a key part of that website, among the many other good things out there, is that there is information on how to start a meeting, which is probably one of the most basic ways to get the message of recovery to the folks in your community, which is to start a meeting in your own community. Now, if you're not sure on how to do that, let me walk you through how you can get that from our website. If you go to www.chow.org, at the homepage on the left-hand side, there's a category called Meetings and Intergroups. Under that category, you can click on the link called Meeting Assistance. And when you open that page, at the very top, you'll see under the category of Meeting Administration, there's a link that says How to Start a Meeting. If you click on that, you'll get all the information you need on how to start a meeting, what the requirements are, and there's also an online registration form. And once you fill that out, you will be sent a new meeting packet with all the information you need to start a meeting. So again, that's the website is probably the easiest, best, most basic way to get information to the public about CHOW. But another way number two, is something that we talked about in the earlier part of the meetings where we talked about when we talked about personal relationships. Word of mouth is certainly one way to share the message of recovery with another compulsive eater. Some members have made business cards with the CHOW website and local office phone number on it to give to anyone who's interested. But the goal is to point people about where they can get information on CHOW. And that's kind of both reactive when people ask us questions, but it can also be proactive if you want to go out and share and say, hey, here's the website information if you want some information. So that's way number two is personal relationships. Way number three is a way to reach the compulsive eater in your community, and it's to post information on any bulletin board that may appear in public places. So, for example, there are bulletin boards at libraries, grocery stores, local hospitals, laundromats. I saw one at my yoga class the other day. Community centers, student union buildings, any place where there's a bulletin board, you could put an announcement about CHOW. And it's basically just provide information about the CHOW in a place where people are already going to get announcements about local events. And that is a proactive approach to make people available. Here's the website, or here, call this number. So that's another place, is bulletin boards. Now, there are a couple of sample documents that you could put on the bulletin board. Let me read you a couple of samples. One is just a little sample 3x5 card that could say the following. Are you a compulsive eater? Do you eat when you're not hungry? Do you hide your eating from others? Do you overeat and then starve yourself, purge, take laxatives, or exercise for hours? Do you promise yourself you won't overeat and then do it anyway? Is your weight affecting the way you live your life? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may have a problem with compulsive eating. You're not alone. There is recovery. We welcome you to attend a meeting of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW. Honesty, open-mindedness, willingness. For more information, call, and then the phone number, or visit www.chow.org. So that's an example of just a 3x5 card that could be posted up at a public information site. Another one is the 13 questions handout. This is a document called the 13 questions. Are you a compulsive eater? Number one, do you get hungry when things don't go your way? Number two, do you get hungry when there doesn't seem to be anything to do? Three, after you've been frightened or scared about something that has happened, do you find yourself hungry? Four, when you feel all alone, do you sometimes use food to get over the feeling? Five, after an argument with someone, do you find yourself wanting to eat? Six, have you ever found yourself eating two breakfasts, lunches, or dinners because you felt the first one wasn't adequate? Seven, do you find yourself planning the next meal before you finished eating? Eight, when you sit down to a meal, do you find you eat more than you want to? Nine, do you ever have a sense of being out of control during a meal? 10, have you ever sought outside help to deal with your eating? 11, do you ever attempt to hide your binges by eating in secret or alone or in your car? 12, have you ever turned to diet pills, alcohol, or other drugs in an effort to control your eating or relieve depression or guilt? 13, are you obsessed with body image, weight, or exercise? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may have a problem with compulsive eating. You are not alone. There is recovery. We welcome you to attend a meeting of CHOW. For more information, call, phone number, or visit our website. So that's just another example of a document that you could post out, in the public to make people aware. So those are a couple of examples. Way number four could be a local phone book. Again, this is a place where, in general, if you think about a compulsive eater looking, they might look in the phone book to say, is there something about compulsive eating or eating disorders or compulsive eating or bulimia, for that matter. Does your local phone book have the CHOW number listed in your yellow pages under that appropriate heading? Again, eating disorders or things like that, recovery center, things like that. That could be a way to reach the public. Make sure that when people look for information in the phone book, is information about CHOW. And if not, take the steps necessary to make sure that the CHOW website is listed. Way number five, this is another way to reach people, and that could be, for example, creating a YouTube video. To create a video that communicates the message of recovery through working the CHOW concept, which also provides reference to our website and the local CHOW number. Now again, just like we talked about with our tradition of anonymity, please do not use photographs or images in which any member's faces may be recognized, and use only first names. But that could be a way to reach the public. And again, if you think about it, the compulsive eater or the professional community could be searching the internet looking for some solution about, is there a relief from compulsive eating? And if they could find a YouTube video, talk, with an image of somebody, again, specific, maybe it's just a voiceover there's no personal image, but just saying, hey, my name's Roberta, and I used to struggle from compulsive eating. And then I found SeeHow, and much to my surprise, miracles happen, and I'm actually at a goal weight, and I've been here for 5 years. That's a miracle. You can find that too. Go to SeeHow. Here's the number. That could be a quick example. Another way, this is way number six, is to consider the internet search sites like Yahoo or a bunch, I can't think of other ones, Bing, I think, is a Microsoft search site, Google. Anyway, when there are searches going on the internet, make sure, somebody could make sure that those search engines are finding SeeHow when somebody enters the words like compulsive eater or eating disorder. And actually, in some of the interviews we were doing, that's actually how one member first found SeeHow. She was just doing a search one day on compulsive eater, and it came across SeeHow, and that's how she found it. So basically, the method is to make sure that any of those general information sites, and that could include Wikipedia as well, or any other place where somebody's looking for information, make sure that SeeHow can be found. Another way, way number seven, is public service announcements. Now, pretty much any radio or TV station has a quota of public service announcements that they must provide. And if you were to ask a local station if they would run a SeeHow public service announcement for free, they probably would. So you could approach your local newspaper, your local a radio station, local TV station, and ask if they will run a free public service announcement for SeeHow. Now, just so you know, our website actually has a professionally produced public service announcement available on our website. Our SeeHow World Service Organization has produced a professional, these are called PSAs, public service announcements. So there's a professional PSA available for the radio. Both the recording and the script are available for download from our website. You just need to provide the local SeeHow number. So that's a great way to make the public aware. And let me pause here and just say that actually is a key issue for right now at this time of year. The holidays are coming Thanksgiving in November here in the States, and then the Christmas holiday, the New Year's holiday, and Hanukkah. There's a number of holidays coming in which food is very prevalent. And for our community, the compulsive eater, and those that are still suffering, this is a very difficult time. And therefore, if they were to be, this is a perfect time to make people aware that the fellowship is here and that there is recovery and relief from compulsive eating. So doing a PSA now or even right after the holidays is a great time. People are very interested because they're looking for a solution. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to have this particular workshop now, so that if anybody out there is interested in doing some outreach on their own or as, you know, one of the fellowships, either a meeting or intergroup, it's a great time of year to do that. Another way, way number eight, is to buy advertising. To put an advertised announcement about SeeHow in a newspaper, a radio commercial, TV commercial, a billboard, maybe a bus stop, they have advertising spaces there, maybe a car wash. There's lots of places where people are just standing there with nothing to do but read the advertisements. Those are great places to post information. And again, it's ways to get message to the general public about SeeHow. Now, one example. In doing the interviews, one of our members let us know that she herself came into a 12-step recovery as a result of a billboard that provided a message of hope of recovery from compulsive eating. It was a simple billboard with a local phone number, and that was enough to bring her in the rooms. Another member, and this is a different member that shared, their intergroup bought billboard space with a message that was basically this. It had an image of a stop sign, and it was the stop sign and then the words compulsively eating. So it said stop compulsively eating, and there was just a phone number, the local phone number. And the member shared with me how they ran the billboard in November and December around the holidays, and that their meeting rooms were full through the following March, the following year. So again, this is not the only way to do it, and maybe not everybody wants to do it this way, but because I asked them, I said, how much did it cost? I think it was like a couple $100 to do the billboard. Now, again, I don't know what it's going to cost. You'd have to do the research, but it is one way to reach the compulsive eater. Another way, way number nine, is to use other modern media capabilities, maybe create a podcast that explains what CHOW is all about and make it available online. Or maybe create handouts that contain a barcode which people could then scan and listen to on a podcast. Again, there are lots of modern media capabilities that could be used and leveraged to get the message out to the public about CHOW. Another way, and actually let me pause and just have a drink of water. Bear with me for just a second. Thank you for holding. Okay, so another way, way number 10, is to conduct a public information meeting. And this is where it's a planned event where you might want to invite lots of people who want to learn about CHOW. Have it in a nice location. Everybody dresses nicely. Arrange to have one or two speakers with long-term abstinence. Have lots of support people there to answer any questions. Have brochures and handouts available that explain our program, things like meeting locations and times and the CHOW pamphlets, et cetera. And basically invite the public to come to this special CHOW meeting to see what it's all about. We've had members do this, and the results are, and the response is great. So that's another thing that you could do. Way number 11, and this is to put on a booth for about CHOW at a local health fair. Now, health fairs are put on by a number of organizations. It could be a local hospital or a medical group. It could be a local employer. It could be a university. We had one, and actually several people have mentioned that we've had lots of success about this, and there's actually information on our website about how to set up this health fair booth. But the idea is that as people are browsing the booths, make them aware of our program. So that's worked really well. I've heard some really great feedback where people in program have done really great jobs at making local hospitals and local employers aware that we're willing to put on a health fair booth. And again, the we is the we who want to. It's not everybody, it's not mandatory, but it is a great way to reach the compulsive eater community. Way number 12 is a similar concept, but to do a booth at the county or state fair. And again, very, very similar. And again, there's information on our website. One of our members, when we interviewed them, shared how that they had about 20,000 visitors a day at their state fair. And the cost to set up the booth was about $150, plus they had to man it. But it was a wonderful way to, quote, rev up the old timers in program. They assigned a long-time CHOW member along with a newer member to work the booth and pass out CHOW pamphlets and answer questions. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe one of our fellowship groups actually did a health fair event last weekend. So hopefully when we have shares in a moment about what's worked, I'm hoping that one of them is on the line to say how the event last week went. But again, there's literature out on the website about how do you set that up. And the 13th way, I think this is the last official way I have, is a way to reach the professional community itself. Again, those doctors and therapists. And the way is to do an outreach to them. You can approach your own medical doctor and or healthcare professional and ask if they would allow you to provide CHOW pamphlets in their waiting room. You could also send a letter to various local healthcare providers telling them who we are and our meeting list, et cetera. One member shared with us about how her doctor had been very impressed with how she was managing her weight. And when the doctor asked her how she did it, the member told her about CHOW and asked if she could provide some CHOW brochures in the waiting room. The member ultimately even approached her dentist and her endocrinologist to do the same thing. And as a result, their local meeting had 6 to 10 newcomers a week. So again, that's a proven way to get the message out. And we all have doctors that we can reach out to. Now, those are all the ways that we had talked about in the guidelines document, but I want to open it up to people to share what their thoughts, what their experience has been. So I'd like to get up to 3 people to share. And again, our timer is Lisa from Michigan, and again, it'll be a 3-minute time share. Lisa will give you a 1-minute warning. Please acknowledge her. Let me open it up to anybody to share their experience and what they've done in outreach to their communities. Anybody want to share? You have to press *6 to unmute yourself.
Hello, my name is Marilyn, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Santa Fe.
Hi, thanks for sharing. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm getting to a more basic thing here, and that is that I'm relatively new in the last few months to my CEHA meeting, and when I brought up the whole topic of public information and publicizing in the way that goes with tradition, I was met with a lot of resistance. We're not supposed to do that. And I have read everything on the website, and I understand it quite well, but I'm still finding a lot of resistance and people who say, that's not what we're supposed to do. And I'd like to know how this can be presented so people are not dismissing it out of hand.
Thank you for your share and your question. Let me ask for other people who would like to share, either to address that question or to share their own experience. Well, I'll go ahead and share again. I'm Roberta, and one of the ways that, the resistance is absolutely, I've encountered that myself, that we should not do this. But again, I think what's helpful is the Public Information Guidelines document itself, which again, our World Service Organization for CEHAL produced this last year. The Public Information Committee actually produced the document. It's called the Public Information Document. And everything that I'm reviewing in this workshop is based on that document. Again, it's not a mandatory requirement that people do this, but it does give the reasons for why we do what we do and why we should feel comfortable with being able to reach the public about CEHAL. Again, it's so long as we're maintaining the adherence to the traditions, which is carry the message of recovery. We need to carry the message. We don't need to carry our personality. So that's why we maintain personal anonymity. That would be one suggestion that I would make, is get a copy of the Public Information Guideline document and share that with anybody in the fellowship. So that would be my suggestion. Who else would like to share on their experience? You have to press star 6.
Hi, Roberta. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
In Missouri. And I'm having a little hard time talking without coughing, so I'll do the best I can here. Yes, we had a health booth at the Holistic Health Fair in Kansas City through Comm University this last weekend. And I think it's a very good way to get the message out there. We handed out brochures. We had different shifts when some of us worked. But some of the people that are active, really active in the program and did a lot and is also on the public information in our inner group, actually did a great job of setting up. We had a display about with a stop sign about stop dieting and some questions like that are in the brochures and stuff. But we also did, the ones of us that wanted to, we had a picture of before and after with this is what recovery looks like. And it was just us that, you know, wanted to do that or might be there to man the booth as to what we look like before, what we look like now. And we also just, people asked questions, wanted to know what it was about. We gave them some basic information, what meetings we had in our area and, you know, what was actually takes place at, and if they were interested to please come, questions to answer about recovery, about just the questions like that you gave. And thank you so much for your service of doing this workshop, and you've gave some great information. And we have not, as far as I know, yet gotten any particular members from last Sunday, but we think we've planted a seed. And we will want to do this in the next year, too. We had to take up a collection within our local groups to do this. That'll pass. Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Let me have one other share. We have time for another share. Anybody else like to share their experience, strength, and hope, and what they've done either in outreach to the community or in just working within the fellowship to do this? Well, I'll go ahead and continue then. So one of the questions is, well, what is the best way to try to reach the, you know, the community about CHOW? And the truth is, there's no one best way. All efforts are good. But generally, we found the following to be effective. Now, let me first do a quick review of what are all the groups and people that we're dealing with. And I'm kind of talking within the Fellowship of CHOW. The most basic and most important are the individual CHOW members that may, on their own, decide to try to carry the message of recovery to the public. But there's also groups. It could be, and let me just pause for a second and say, could everybody make sure they're muted, because I'm hearing a little bit of paper rattling in the background. You could all just make sure your own phone is muted, or that you're muted on the star six. Thank you for doing that. So again, there are individual CHOW members, but then there are individual meetings. It could be a meeting or a group of meetings. It could be the intergroup. It could be the area, which is the next main category of how our meetings are grouped together. There's also the annual World Service Business Conference. We have a business conference every year, and there are delegates sent from the various areas and intergroups and meetings to represent the fellowship there. It's usually in Los Angeles in July. And there's a number of committees we're all assigned to, and one of them is the Public Information Committee, and there's usually, according to our bylaws, 5 to 13 delegates assigned to work the Public Information Committee throughout the year to develop coordinated public information efforts. And then, of course, there is the World Service Organization itself, WSO, World Service Organization. It maintains the CHOW website, which, again, is the central source of information for the compulsive eater looking for a solution, as well as information for the professional community and for our own fellowship. So there's all kinds of different groups and individuals that can work together. And one of the ways that these groups can work together would be the following. Local public information committees can build an understanding within the fellowship about the 12 traditions and the part that public information plays. So back to one of the questions that had been raised earlier, which is, well, what do you do when you encounter resistance from people in program who say we're not supposed to make the public aware of CHOW. We don't do promotion. One of the ways that we could work together is to direct them to things like this workshop or the public information guidelines that the CHOW WSO published, just to help them understand what are our traditions and how do we make the public aware. Special meetings like this one could be held to explain the difference between spreading the message through attraction and promotion. We could do workshops on Tradition 11. To, again, help the fellowship gain interest and insight. Also, an individual meeting or intergroup or area could create a public information newsletter that includes a list of upcoming health fairs, projects, or other information on how the word is being spread. For example, if members have been asked to share their experience, strength, and hope on the radio or other media, maybe that information could be included in the newsletter. Individual members could visit local groups to give public talks about public information service, which is kind of what I'm doing. Again, I was on the committee last year, and I had been involved in the project, and all I'm doing is simply carrying the message to other people. But at the end of the day, it's ultimately, again, you as an individual or as a group of people to decide if and how you do want to share with the public about CHOW. And certainly public information workshops can be conducted at various conventions or conferences and CHOW get-togethers just like this one. And let me pause and say, I believe we have this year's chair of the Public Information Committee. I think, Lorraine, I heard you earlier. Did you want to share anything about the stuff that's going on at this year's Public Information group?
Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for being there, Lorraine.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, I just... Roberta, thank you. I think you've given us so many good things to think about. I know that, and please correct me if I'm wrong since I missed the last meeting, I know that you're also trying to get some uniformity and I think you're calling it a brand for all of our literature to go out there. And I know that the committee is also trying to get enough pamphlets and letters for distribution for things like the health fair and other information to help get the message out there. I think the the pamphlet, especially with the 13 questions, is really good, because people will come to a health fair and they will spend 10 minutes telling me why they don't think they're a compulsive eater, and in the middle of everything they say, I'm thinking to myself, oh dear, please read this question. And if they can do it on their own, then they're not threatened in any way. It's something that they can think about, and as you said, they can take, it's a seed that's planted. I know that the committee is also trying to get everything out in Spanish, which is becoming a very large intergroup for us. Very strong community is building up of Spanish speakers. And the How to Start a Meeting also, I think, is another very important piece that the committee is doing, because we have so many people out there who would love to have a face-to-face meeting, and thanks to the phone bridge, they're able to find their abstinence and keep connected, but a face-to-face meeting is still a special blessing that we can all have, and I think that the Public Outreach Committee is one of the most dynamic ones that we have, and I'm just very grateful for all of the dedicated people that are part of it. Did I miss anything that, Roberta, that you would like to talk about?
Yeah, Lorraine, what I was going to say was, if you would like to leave your number, again, Lorraine is the chair of this year's Public Information Committee with CHOW, maybe just leave your number in case anybody wanted to follow up or ask any questions. Lorraine, are you unmuted? Could somebody do me the benefit of unmuting and just making sure I'm being heard?
We can hear you.
I'm hearing you unmuted.
That's good. That sounds good. So, Lorraine, are you still there? Maybe Lorraine got disconnected. Well, I'll come back to Lorraine in just a second. But in general, just to summarize then, that really is the main stuff we wanted to cover. We hope that this has helped you better understand what it means to provide the public with information about CHOW. Again, these are just guidelines based on our traditions and our own collective experience. I would encourage all of you to look for ways to share our message of hope and recovery with the public, ultimately to help that compulsive eater out there that is still suffering. If you do have any questions or are maybe interested in conducting your own public information outreach, you could certainly send a message to the General Service Organization for CHOW. That email address is gso@chow.org. Again, that's G as in George, S as in Sam, O as in Ocean, at CEAHOW.org. And again, that stands for the General Service Organization. And ask to be, to be put in touch with the Public Information Committee. Let me just pause there and say, Lorraine, are you back? I had I've been hoping you could leave your phone number. I know you were having trouble unmuting before. Well, no worries. Again, the gso@chow.org will work. So I wanted to thank you guys all for joining the workshop today. Just for reference, one more time, I'd mentioned that if you did want a copy of some of the information that I was looking at as I did this workshop, to get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that I used to do this, you can go to the CHOW website, www.chow.org. On the left-hand side, select the link titled Audio Downloads, and then go to the 2012 Annual Global Convention Audio Downloads. And under there, you'll see an event titled Spreading the Message. Click that link. There's a link there. And just to the right of that, it's called Download the Handout. And you'll be actually able to see the PowerPoint presentation that contains this information. But if you would like a copy of the CHOW Public Information Guidelines themselves, which includes examples of the letters and 3x5 cards that you might want to use, eventually this will be put on the CHOW website under public information. But in the meantime, if you'd like a copy, I would be happy to send you a copy. You can email me at roberta1521@sbcglobal.net. Again, that's R-O-B-E-R-T-A. The number is 1521 at S as in Sam, B as in Boy, C as in Charles, global.net. And I will send you a copy. So in closing, again, my name is Roberta, and my number here in Orange County, California is 714-299-9721. Again, that's 714-299-9721. We'll go ahead and say the Serenity Prayer, and then we'll give some people a chance to share anything they'd like, and then we'll give it a couple minutes, and we'll officially close the workshop. So, Carolyn, give me another couple minutes. But now let's join in the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy
will, not mine, be done. Amen. Thank you, Roberta.
Thanks, Roberta.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Thanks so much.
Woo-hoo.
It was a great workshop.
Let me ask anybody, would anybody like to share their comments? The floor is open. We'll do this for a couple minutes before we officially close the workshop. Anybody want to share?
Roberta, I'm Suzanne, compulsive eater, and I'm so glad that you did this because I was going to a face-to-face meeting that had been large and dwindled down for lots of different reasons, and half of us wanted to, it was near a university, put in, university newspaper, are you a compulsive eater, call this number, or there's a meeting at, such and such a place, and a little more than half of the people said, we can't do that, we're not doing it. So the meeting closed because, we just dwindled down. And this gives us a lot of clarity and gives us the tools to go out there and spread the message. And I'm just so grateful that you did that because I really missed that meeting. And it was in a great location, too. And, we could have done something differently. But this was like 8 years ago, so I'm just so grateful. And I'd also like to suggest, there are other institutions and other sectors of the public that are neglected, like the blind or the deaf or other disabilities or elder people who may be in assisted living facilities, and that's another area that needs help that I would really like to look into. And thank you once again, Roberta. I pass.
Thank you, Suzanne. Would anyone else like to share?
I would. My name is Pam. I'm in a very small group, and I'm pretty new to it. But I think there's kind of a feeling of, we have to get ourselves more together before we get all these new members. And I think actually getting new members would get us more together. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Pam. Who else would like to share? Well, with that, I'll go ahead and close. Carolyn, we can stop the recording. Thanks, everybody, for listening.